Jews. I already got the preachers, but not the songs. So it's the right way round, like the Apostle Paul. He had something to say, but he said, your old prophets and poets say these things. This one is one of those revivalist songs from America, isn't it? And I'm not sure of its origin, but when I look for a rendition of it, one that came up first was Harry Dean Stanton, if you know of the actor, in Cool Hand Luke. It's a film maybe I need to watch. It looked as though it was quite profound. And there he was singing Just a Closer Walk in this prison. But then I found that Chris Barber, it's going to be a bit of old man stuff. I can't help that, can I? And it may have gone right over your head there. But there aren't many modern versions of by singers that I knew. But you've got Judith Durham. Do you remember her, The Seekers? She had a lovely voice. Brenda Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, how about the Bourbon Street Stompers? Yeah. Yeah, this song in Louisiana or New Orleans, around that way, they sing it at funerals because it's got a funeral thought in it. It's about being with Jesus right through and dying and going on to glory. But if you've ever seen them, these things, they play it really slow, don't they? And they march in a kind of steady thing, and they're playing these trombones and trumpets and flutes and clarinets and so on, and banging the drum, and they take the coffin through. Now, I'm sure I've seen that in a James Bond film. Yeah. But then it was really interesting. One of them, this group, had a guy singing. I was going to play it. He's such a beautiful baritone voice, this fella. And he's a local man to New Orleans. But it went on for 12 minutes and I couldn't see how to. Because they did it slow and they did it fast. Because he said that's what they do. They go slow and then they bury the person. He said, we're really strange where we live because we bury people above ground. Because they live below the water level, don't they? As we know two times now. And so they bury people above ground. And he said, but when we got that over with, we have a celebration, and they play the same tune, but really fast. It's sort of trad jazz style. I thought that was really interesting, because if anything, this song involves us in recognizing that we are very temporary people, and if we're not walking with Jesus, then death can be quite a shock. In fact, it can be a dreadful shock for those that don't even know him. But the truth is, I, as a Christian, I'm not sure that I've walked with Jesus consciously, but I know, like that footsteps thing, he walks with me, and I find great comfort from his grace. And we're going to think of grace. But I'd like us first to read something from the Bible. It's in 2 Corinthians, a letter that Paul wrote. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And again, I'm reading from this very, very recent version. I haven't decided it's a perversion yet. It's not too bad. And you know, one of the reasons I'd quite like the NIV, but there are so many different renditions of it. And the latest one is gender neutral, isn't it? It gets quite forced in places. But here we go. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. I'm just going to read from verse 11 down to verse 21. So, we try to persuade people. That's okay. It's quite an effort at times to persuade people to believe in Jesus, isn't it? Since we know what it means to fear the Lord, we are well known by God, and I hope that in your heart we are well known by you as well. We aren't trying to commend ourselves to you again. Instead, we're giving you an opportunity to be proud of us, so that you could answer those who take pride in superficial appearance. That's like the world, isn't it? And not what is in the heart. Do you remember when God said to Samuel about King David, when he was going to anoint you, he says, I don't look at the outward appearance, I look at the heart. That's very comforting, because some of us might not feel our outward appearance as carrying much, but God looks at hearts. He can see courage and love for him, where others in the world might just see someone who's humble and worth treading down and treading on. Mustn't let that happen, though. If we are crazy, it's for God's sake. If we are rational, it's for your sake. That's interesting. The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. One, he died for the sake of all. Therefore, all died. He died for the sake of all, so that those who are alive should live not for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised from the dead. So then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards, even though we used to know Christ by human standards. That isn't how we know him anymore. So then, if anyone is in Christ, Christ in me, Christ in me, we sang that, in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away. And look, new things have arrived. Your version might say, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. I like that better, really. All of these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was and is reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. And he has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So then, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God calls the one who didn't know sin to be a sin offering for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. So, what does just a closer walk with thee mean? How does that fit with what we just read? Certainly we've read that if we're in Christ, we're dead, but we're alive in him, so we should not be living to our old nature and its desires, but in this new nature that wants to please Christ and to walk with him. So, what do the words of the song mean? When you sing them, some of you do, it's one I've liked singing. I'm pretty certain it was one we used to sing way, way back when I was part of a folk group that used to go round the churches. Sure, we sang this along with This World Is Not My Home and Oh Sinner Man and a few others. So what does it mean? When you say, I'm weak and you're strong, what are we wanting, Jesus? Are we wanting a closer walk? Or do we say, well, keep over there, Jesus, you're too good for me. Like Peter when he fell at the Lord's feet and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Did the Lord go away? No, of course not, because Christ is able to make us what we should be. You touch Christ and he makes you like him. You touch the world makes you like them. So there's your choice. So any answers? What are we asking for? What are we expecting that a closer walk with Jesus will do in our lives? Stronger faith. Stronger faith, yeah. He is going to make our faith strong. Because we know who we've got faith in, and the more you know him, the stronger your faith. That's a good one.
Assurance of salvation.
Assurance. Because knowing him and being near him, there's going to be that wonderful love of the Father assuring you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of the Holy Spirit of good things to come. That's going to be there. Like the two on the road to Emmaus who met Jesus risen from the dead, and they were as miserable as anything because they thought that was it, that's the finish. We had hoped that he would be the one to save Israel, and he talked with them and walked with them, just a closer walk. And they said, oh, we've loved talking with you, come and have dinner with us. And as they had dinner, he took a bit of bread and he passed it round. And he passed round the cup, apparently. And they suddenly had their eyes open and they saw who he was. They hadn't realised, well, I suppose you wouldn't, even if someone looked like your best friend, if your best friend has died and suddenly someone turns up and walks with you and says, how are you doing? You wouldn't, even if he was like a twin, you're hardly going to think he's alive again, are you? That isn't something in our minds. That kind of resurrection, physical and vibrant and exciting. But their eyes were opened, and then they said this amazing thing. Did not our hearts burn within us? The word of God living when Jesus is walking with us. Of course, after he had broken the bread and so on, he just disappeared from their sight, didn't he? He'd gone on to see someone else. So anything else?
Become as one.
There would be a unity that what he does, you do. The way he walks, you walk. When he moves his hands, your hands move. Because you're one. That's what God said about Jesus, and Jesus said about his Father. What he does, I do. What he says, I say. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be that far along? You know, for me to preach exactly as Jesus would preach would be, well, I think if I get there, that's it. I'd just step into heaven then. Which reminds me of a man called Enoch. Way back in the Old Testament, he said, Enoch walked with God and was not found. And someone has said he was walking with God and he just went walking on into glory. You can check me out on that one. It's in Genesis 5, I should think. Anything else? Walking with Jesus. Yeah, surely the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be increased, not just to do things out there, but within your own life, to overcome the old nature.
Unconditional friendship.
That is, without doubt, what the whole experience is, that it's grace, isn't it? Unconditional friendship. God's grace is yours. So if you're feeling, oh, I can't walk with Jesus, I'm not good enough or whatever, you've not understood what Carl has just said about the grace of God. That Jesus says, it's not what you're like, it's what you're going to be like. And I choose to be your friend. I choose to walk with you. So come on, let's walk together. That's the grace of God. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. You know, quite frankly, he is not bothered about taking on, as I was, a greasy teenager longing to ride motorbikes and get drunk and do all these wrong things, and yet I found him. He found me. He wasn't ashamed to say, okay, you're my friend now. It's transforming thoughts, these. For me, I had down that if we're choosing to walk with Jesus, then we want to be holy as he is holy. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be a monk or a nun or over pious. We're going to be real, aren't we? We're going to be like Paul said, I might appear crazy and I might appear rational, but I'm walking with Jesus, following him. That's what counts. I don't mind what other people think, because I care what God thinks. I care what Jesus thinks. So there's a real holiness, which is, like you said, about the Holy Spirit. And I think as well, once you really get into this, it's a learning experience. I am weak, but you're strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. There's a verse for today, for those of us going through a tough time, feeling rejected, feeling misunderstood. Well, Jesus doesn't misunderstand us ever. He knows our hearts. He doesn't look at it. He doesn't look at the actions. He looks at the intentions, doesn't he? But there's a problem with walking with Jesus, because it isn't just a chummy thing. He's a teacher. He's our counselor. He's not just a lovey-dovey friend. He's more than that. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But he is Lord, and he says, well, I'm going this way. And if we don't want to go that way, he's not going to say, oh, I'll go your way. He expects us, once we've committed, to go his way. And that's not easy, because he's going to say some stuff and expect some stuff that we as human beings don't want to do. We're in such a selfish world. Every day I read now, people say, I am going to be this. And I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't care of the consequences of my words or my actions. And I could include a whole range of behaviours that now people are demanding that they have the right to be this and that. But where's the consequences of this? When we demand our own rights, there's a lot of other people are going to get wrong. But when you go Jesus' way, he does no wrong. Love does no wrong to its neighbour. So there's a safe way of walking, but it's an obedient way. And one of the things he's going to say to you and me is, don't just read the Bible. Do it! It's such a danger in reading and reading and reading, like getting all these verses. What good is that? He says the letter kills. It's the Spirit that gives life. We need to read God's word in the presence of God, in the presence of his light. So I've got that verse today. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we have fellowship with one another. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? We stop being selfish walking with Jesus. It suddenly becomes a corporate, lovely body ministry thing. We have fellowship. And that's a big word in Greek, with one another. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from everything that's sinful, from all sin. What an amazing offer today. Last week we said, people get ready, people get on board. And we said, once you're on board, you go where God's going, because he's driving the train. And if you don't want to get on board, like we see, I think it's true with Christians today, they're all going down to the last coach and they're writing their own Bible and their own ideas, and then one of them, strong enough, is going to try and uncouple it and they're going to go off on their own. But if you're in the train, you're going where God wants. And if you're walking with Jesus, you go where he wants. Another thing he says, and we're not going to like this, and it's a challenge every day. He says, I want you to be generous in your spirit, wait for it, and your wallet. I want you to be generous in your spirit and in your wallet. And that can hurt the human being. We've never got enough. How can we do that? But we can. And generous in spirit means that, as I've read, when you start judging someone, walk a mile in their shoes. And then forget it, because you've got his shoes anyway. You don't see that one. If you're walking in someone else's shoes, that's intercession. You're walking as they walk. You're getting to know that person. So by the time a mile has gone on, you're not judging them anymore. That's the point of it. Another thing that I feel is going in Christian life, that we're getting so individual, we can access the internet for godly things, we can read books, we can go to Bethel on screen and get all that worship and stuff. But that misses one of the big things. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and with each other. Fellowship is koinonia, which means to sharing, being together, having things in common. It doesn't mean that you say, mia casa es su casa, you know, my house is your house. That's good. But it doesn't mean you actually give your house to the other person. You have an openness. You give yourself. You're open to other people. You're not judging them, so you can be open to them. You leave judgment to God. We all do stuff wrong. We all are weak. But he's strong. We all falter. We all get trouble. We all think bad thoughts. So we need him to discipline us, which is another thing. Do we love his discipline? We sing it, don't we? Lord, I love your discipline. I choke on that sometimes because his discipline can be quite thorough. I sometimes shared that with the four children we had, three boys and a girl, my daughter Helen, I only had to just say, Helen, she'd cry. She did not need anything physical to make her realise where things were right and wrong. And maybe that's more true of girls, I don't know. My boys are pretty feisty in another way. But Helen's, you know her, some of you, she's the toughest of the four. But there was that ease of walk with her. And I'd like to feel that with Jesus, that sometimes he says, David, and that's enough for me to be pulled into line and know that I'm thinking the wrong thing or walking away from him. Which is easily done, isn't it? It's quite a challenging thing, but I think underneath it, there's a lot of joyful things. Another challenge that Jesus will bring, and I'm only quoting scriptures here, he's going to ask for humility. You can't retaliate. He didn't. When he was reviled, he didn't revile back. So often, simple humility escapes us. And yet we sing these songs of the awesomeness of God, the wonder of God. And yet, does it hit a humility? Humility can say, not my will, but your will be done. Your kingdom come, my kingdom go. It can say that and mean it. It's not just words. It's reality. As Christ's kingdom takes over. And as we worship, build a throne, we say, sing. So humility is quite a challenge, and maybe we take all our lives to learn it, because the example is the Lord Jesus himself, who humbled himself even to death. Death on a cross as a criminal. He was happy to do that, it says. The joy that was set before him, he endured all that. And look, you and me, I was nearly saying, brothers, sisters, we're his joy. We're that joy. Handful of people in Tidcoat today were part of that joy that meant he could endure all those horrible things because he knew we'd be raised in faith in him, given new lives. But that brings us back to the fact that this is a song about death. It's a song at a funeral. Like Rock of Ages and Abide With Me and one or two others are always chosen. And when we walk with Jesus, it's not a walk slow, like in the Bourbon Street jazz band and the coffin. It's not like that. It's a walk that's brisk, joyful, and you're like a little lamb skipping and jumping around because it's a walk into life. Not into death. You leave death behind you. Your death the world's death, you walk into life. And so we are ambassadors, we said in 2 Corinthians there, ambassadors for Christ. We are reconciling the world to himself. The world died when Christ died. Everyone can be saved. All they have to do is hear the word of God. Lazarus, come forth. Be alive. He did it to me. He did it to you. Isn't that wonderful? What grace of God to say to a person like me, be alive and walk with me. And so it says in Ephesians 1 and 13, you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with him and in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And it's all to the praise of his glory. And if you were ever worried about your salvation in Christ, the Holy Spirit in you, given you as a free gift, God in you, Christ in you, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So we're walking on like Enoch. We're walking with Jesus and we're walking on to glory and from glory to glory. It's a wonderful privilege to be a Christian, even in a difficult day. So be encouraged. We're going to worship. We're going to share bread and wine. And may the Lord confirm these things in our hearts and help us to walk in the light with Jesus. Amen.